In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Today we have as our gospel story and in front of us the story of Martha and Mary. One of the most familiar stories in the Bible for Christians. Jesus, the Son of God, needed companionship and love. At the times when he needed respite and sanctuary in life, he often went to the house of his friends Martha, Mary, and the brother Lazarus. He loved them and they loved him. And we come to the famous story today when he is visiting and Mary sits at his feet with undivided attention and Martha is in the kitchen working and then complains that she's doing all the work and that Mary can help. And seemingly, Jesus takes Mary's side. Martha was distracted about many things. Mary has chosen a better way. There's a very common, famous, accepted interpretation of the story, the loved one, that the church often adopts. And that this story emphasizes and affirms the two great workings in the church, the contemplative side and the active life. Some are in the church are called the contemplative life, such as monks and nuns, monasteries and factories, and convent factories, the prayer factories. And they're called to pray 24 hours a day, and to represent you and me, who cannot do that 24 hours a day. Most of us are living an active life in the world, making a living and making a home, so others carry us in faith. I think about the masses that during the week in this church, the morning and prayer services offered here every day. Not everyone can come to that. So those that do represent all those that cannot. They pray on our behalf. And then the names of the prayer list, the petitions, the needs of this world are remembered. And then there's the active life. And for so many people, live their life imitating Jesus in the way in which they work and move and have their being. I remember once as a child, very well, remember one of the guilds in the church where I grew up. And the guild was named Guild of St. Martha. Because it was an active guild. Most of them were women, some men, but they were free capital. And they placed them in the freezer, and then if someone had a need, someone was ill, there would be a phone tree at that time before the internet. And there was rush to capital over the house. That's the active life. The life of St. Martha. But today, brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer another interpretation that does not contradict this traditional interpretation of the story. It's a very simple interpretation. And I think that we in our generation, in this world, at this time, we need to hear. It's simply this. And I share, whenever I have this story, I share another parable to touch the point of this interpretation. So I might have told the story before, it's one of my favorites, but I tell it again. Because it complements Martha and Mary. The story of a man that lived in the ancient world that had four wives. He loved his fourth wife the most. She was the most beautiful. He never said no. He adored her and worshipped her. The third wife he loved. Oh, how proud he was of the third wife. How he showed her off to all of his friends. He protected her at all costs. No harm would ever come to his third wife. The second wife he loved in a different way. She was always there for him, in good times and in bad. He could always count on the second wife to give him words of honesty. But his first wife he cared little for. She was older. He spent only the time that was obligatory with his first wife. Because of that, she became sad and alone and sick. Well, it came to time that with all of humanity for this man to die. And on his deathbed, he called for his fourth wife. He said, I've loved you more than all others in this world. I've never said no to you. I worship you. Now I ask you to do one thing for me, to take my hand and follow me in death. And she looked over in his face in the deathbed and she said, the moment you die, I will be gone. Shocked. He called for his third wife and said, I've always loved you. I protect you at all costs. No harm has ever come to you. Now I ask you to take my hand and follow me and Jasmine. This is what Jesus said. The moment you die, the very moment you die, I open the arms of honor. Devastated, he called for his second wife. You have always been there for me during sick and sin. You have always given me the truth. I ask you to take my hand and follow me in death. And with compassion, she took his hand. She said, I will take your hand and I will follow you. But I can only go so far as the grave. And at the grave, I have to let go. So finally, alone and destitute, on his death day, he hears a voice, a distant voice in the shadows, a voice he barely recognized. And then he saw the outline of an old, emaciated woman, his first wife, saying, I will follow you. I've always been with you, and I always will. I will take your hand, and I will follow you in death. And he said, I tell this story because whether we know it or not, all of us have four spiritual spouses. Did you know that? The fourth represents our body. How we love our body. We worship them. We never say no to them. But when we die, they are gone. They decay. The third spouse represents our wealth and possessions, how proud we are, how we show them off, how we protect them at all costs. The moment we die, they will be in the arms of others. Happily. The second one represents our family and friends and how good they are to us. But as we don't know, do we know? We hold one another's hand, but we have to get going to grave. How many of us have to do that, haven't we? The first wife, the first thought represents the only thing in this world that is eternal, our soul. And how we neglect the soul. It may be the best thing is they can't visually see the soul. Sometimes. We spend all of the time with the blues. But it's the only thing that he did. And I think the story of Martin Mary is a simple story. He wasn't taking Mary's side because he at all disregarded Martha. But Jesus knew that if we waited until the kitchen was clean, if we waited until all the tasks were done before we gave attention to the soul, we would never get to the soul. So we give thanks for the various ways in which we nourish the soul. And I give thanks to the institutional church. Yes, the institutional church of God, as imperfect as it is, it holds us accountable and gives us the structure and the ritual to nourish our soul, the Eucharist, the music, and the prayer, and the rosary, and the service. And we come as a community. We come together as we're doing right now. And we nourish the one thing that is eternal, our soul. So let us take the story of Martha and Mary with us this week and ask and pray the Holy Spirit to bring this story to our attention whenever we begin to neglect the one thing that is eternal in this world, our beloved